Thin Line Believers is a Christ-based outreach for the men and women who walk the thin line between good and evil, order and chaos. Our motto is, our service for His glory. To the police officers, veterans, firefighters, corrections, paramedics, dispatchers, and whoever else may join us, we are so glad you're here.
Well, hello. Hey, welcome back. Hey, Mike.
Hello there, Big Adam.
I say that as if we haven't been talking for the last,
30 minutes.
Yeah. So, whatever. But hey, welcome to the Thin Line Believers podcast. If you're watching instead of listening, you'll notice we're in black and white. And that's not because I'm trying to be like Jocko, because I can't, number one. But it's because of the lighting in my room right now. It's about the only way that I don't look like an Emmy Award right now, because otherwise I look orange. So,
Trump Jr.
Yeah. Let's see. Today is August 29th. Crazy, crazy, insane week. Afghanistan is that's just a heartbreaking subject, knowing that it was preventable. And that's my beef with that one, is that entire thing was preventable. What else happened this week? Let's see. Our commander in chief fell asleep during a meeting with Israel, with the Israeli prime minister, or at least that's what, there you go. Yeah, exactly. Just like that.
We're going to get kicked off of Facebook and YouTube and every other.
Whatever, dude. And I tend to agree with a lot of these folks. Mike, have you noticed that every time our nation has introduced a plan to divide Jerusalem, to divide Israel, that our country faces some sort of natural disaster, quote unquote? Have you noticed that? It's within days, right? Mm-hmm. A couple of days. And now we have a hurricane bearing down on Louisiana, huh?
Not to get into prophetic things, but, those of us that are into the Word of God and we look at end times, we forget that Israel is God's people. And you mess with Israel, you're messing with God.
Yeah. Is that Genesis 12?
Yeah. And it's just kind of one of those things. It's just like, whenever there's world leaders that's going to mess with Israel, God's going to say, okay, and my fear is, the scripture say in the book of Genesis that, telling Abraham, those who bless Israel will be blessed.
Yeah.
And I think if any nation takes their hands off of Israel, it's almost like God's loosened the grip a little bit.
Yeah.
Because what Genesis tells us, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Mm-hmm. And so in that, could you imagine if God released control of the earth? Will be another utter chaos.
Yeah.
If you think about it, God holds the atoms together.
Atomic glue, they call it.
Yeah. I think I agree with you. A lot has happened this week. Yesterday was just a heavy day for me, but like just the other day, I read that as soon as the U.S. left the particular building in Kabul or Afghanistan, wherever it is, the lights all went out.
Yeah.
I'm like, why? Why are you doing that to our fellow allies there? And you're just turning off the lights, And I don't know. It's just heartbreaking to see, our country turning their back on these people that for the last 20 years have enjoyed some semblance of humanity. You know, women didn't have to walk around in fear.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like Pastor Jack was mentioning it, Jack Hibbs, that is, of Calvary Chapel Chino Hills, was mentioning it before the study, how the terms ISIS, Taliban, Al-Qaeda, slowly coming back into the vocabulary, but it wasn't during the previous administration. I'm not going to name it because we'll probably get kicked off of YouTube.
Right.
From, you know, from the oligarchs that are have the Autobots listening to this. But
yeah,
it's sad because now where are all the feminists standing up for the women's rights in Afghan?
Mm-hmm.
Where are all the quote unquote, the righteous left, if that makes sense?
Yeah.
You know, the community that supposedly cares for, you know, the alphabet community, it's like, where are they? How come they're not standing up
mm-hmm.
for what's going on in Afghanistan?
Yeah.
You know, why is the media, social media, not standing up for all this? You know, and so it was a tough week mentally for me. I mean, obviously,
yeah.
You know, Psalm 27:14 says, wait on the Lord, right? And I will give you strength. And it's just that weight training that I don't sometimes like, you know?
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Well, like I told you, I buried my dog the other day. And so that was hard for the whole family, you know? And it's funny, it's not comparable to losing a human. It's really not, you know, losing a loved one, but it sucks nonetheless. And it just brought to mind this verse in particular. Initially, when Job lost his family, lost his way of life, right? All of his critters were stolen, his kids were killed. And he hadn't yet been handed over to Satan as far as his health yet, right? But even before that, he said in Job 1:20, it says, then Job arose, tore his robe, and shaved his head. And he fell to the ground and he worshiped. And he said, naked I came from my mother's womb, and naked shall I return there. The Lord gave, and the Lord has taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. So after burying my dog, I, you know, when I deal with stuff, and I'm sure a lot of men are the same way, but when I deal with stuff, I usually do it in silence. You know, I generally like to break away and be alone. And I had to do that in limited amounts of time, right? Because I don't want to isolate my wife. But I got away, and I deal with it in silence, and I prayed to God. I said, you know, Lord, thank you that this hurts for a couple of reasons. For one thing, it hurts because we had a good dog, and if it didn't hurt, that would probably mean that we didn't really care for this pet, right? This loved one, I guess. And it would be the same, you know, it's been the same when my family members have passed away. You know, thank you that hurts. It hurts because I miss them. It hurts because a part of me went with them that I won't get back until I'm in heaven myself. And so for the, you know, families of these Marines, and I'll tell you what, for a lot of people who served in Afghanistan and are watching this go on right now, it really hurts. And I can't say that I relate, you know, necessarily, because I didn't serve overseas. And so I'm not going to offer, you know, them anything that says I understand. So if you're listening and you're a veteran, which we do have plenty that are, and who served there, particularly in Afghanistan, I'm not going to sit here and say, I understand what you're going through. But I am going to say that there's a reason that it hurts. And there are good reasons that it hurts. And we'll be praying for you for sure, as we continue to pray for those in Afghanistan. You know, I joined Victor Marks in his, you know, fasting and prayer on Saturday. And I think that that was an appropriate way to approach the Lord in these times, because honestly, we just don't understand. And neither did Job when he was going through his trials. Right. But then in my reading on Friday, it just so happened to be, I'm going through Jeremiah. I kind of bounce all over the place because I'm going through Jeremiah right now. I'm also going through the Psalms and I'm in Matthew. So I'm kind of all over the place. But in my reading in Jeremiah in particular, I just so happened to be in Jeremiah 29. And anybody who has read Jeremiah knows that this chapter in Jeremiah is very personal to each and every one of us. And there's a lot to be taken out of it here. And particularly for me, it was Jeremiah 29, 11, 12, and 13. And even part of 14. But it says, "For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope. Then you will call upon me and go and pray to me, and I will listen to you. And you will seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart. I will be found by you, says the Lord, and I will bring you back from your captivity." Mm. So, Michael, you know that the Israelites here were in a literal captivity in Babylon, right? They had broken the covenant in several ways. Idolatry, it was a huge one here, and also the sacrifice of their kids to Baal was another huge one. And so they were in a literal captivity, and God's offering them hope here. Awesome. There's my dogs. And anyway, so he's promising them, "Hey, I'm going to bring you back out of captivity. And all you have to do is be mine," right? Holy cow. Your turn.
Got to give him a bone, stick him out in the back. That's what I did with my little, well, my wife's dogs, I say.
Mine are frozen, so I can call them mine.
Yeah, right. It's my wife's dachshunds.
Cat. Yeah, cats. Those are cats.
You know, in light of what's all going on right now, with how can I say this? You know, you referenced Job. Job lost his kids. I always wondered, God has a good humor, but he let him keep his wife. You know, you know, at that end of chapter one, it says, in all this, it says Job did not sin. And then it just dawned on me when I read it, like while you're talking and sharing, I'm like, nor did he charge God foolishly.
Yeah.
And sometimes I think when we go through tragedy, sometimes when we go through personal difficulty, and rightfully so, I don't think God holds us against it, but we ask God, why? We point our finger, God, why? And I taught a message to a young adult group years ago. Don't ask whys, W-H-Y-S, right? But be wise, W-I-S-E. And you know, the Proverbs tell us to seek wisdom, and wisdom is in the scriptures. And, you know, you reading that verse, it's like, oh, how can I be more like Job today in 2021? You know, and we know the story. His friends are going to come and they were quiet for a while, but then they opened up their mouth and, you know,
miserable comforters.
Yeah. And sometimes you wonder, like, okay, Lord, you know, people that are lonely, it's like, I want friends. And then you get friends and they give you the worst advice ever. Right. But it's like, Lord, you know, it's like in these days, help us to have wisdom. And wisdom, you know, the proverb says that there's wisdom in, you know, gray-haired or white-headed men, right? Haired men. Why? Because they've lived life a little longer, you know? And I'm sure if we were to talk to older folks, you just talk to them and say, hey, what would you do things a little bit differently? You know, and the Christians that I know that it's gone through difficulty, the things that they would always say is, I wish I would have prayed more, and I wish I would have read more, and I wish I would have worshiped more. You know, and thinking of, you know, we mentioned Afghanistan, different country, different culture, but some of the believers. Just recently, I just read the other day that a small underground church went from like, what, 25 people to 250 or something like that, you know, like, it, or like even bigger, like 2,500, like it just exploded,
yeah,
you know, and I'm like, here they are fearful of the Taliban finding out that they're Christians, that they're going underground and still worshiping our living God. God of the Bible, right? And then when we look at what we're going through personally, it's just like, oh man, it doesn't compare, yeah. You know? And what Job went through, he lost everything, you know? Shaved his head, fell down, you know? And when you read that, I saw a picture of, you know, of like that majestic, like we're rising before, you know, we rise when someone of prominence comes into a room, right? Mm-hmm. Like when you go to, like, at least here in America, in the court, all rise, the judge comes in and sits down. I was kind of picturing the Lord, you know, Job rising before the Lord, you know, shaving his head, renting his robe, telling the Lord, man, I am nothing without you.
Yeah.
And he fell down, you know, because once you're fallen, there's no other way but to get up.
Yeah.
Unless you stay on the ground, which is stupid. But it says he worshiped God. And in all this, it, you know, Job didn't sin and nor did he charge God foolishly. And just, you know, it was a prick in my heart, you know, where, you know, going through things in life, you know, we all go through a lot. I mean, I've been through all kinds of physical ailments. And when I was younger, I would ask, God, why? Why would you allow this? And then, you know, as you get older, you know, you start reading like Psalm 139. Search my heart and see if there's any wicked way in me, you know? And it's like, I'm talking back to a holy God and it's like, whoa, whoa, time out, Mike. Check your heart, you know? If Job lost his business, his kids, except his wife, didn't charge his, you know, God foolishly, who am I to charge God, right? And I know God has a purpose and a plan, but we're so like narrow-minded, you know, like we're like racehorses with blinders on, you know, where all we see is what's in front of us, you know, and then you take a step back and you look at the bigger picture, you know, it's like opening up Google Maps, you know, I remember the first time we connected, you're like, Prineville. I was like, is he making this up? I'm like, what? Whatville? And I'm like, sure enough. And then I zoom in and I zoom out, zoom out, zoom out. Oh, it is in Oregon. You know?
Yeah.
Oregon, right? And, Oregon. And something that the Lord really taught me there is you have to kind of zoom out, Michael, to see not only your issues and your problems, it's, man, my problems right now, I have no room to complain or, you know, complain about because of what the Afghan believers are going through. You know, the woman that was being beaten by the Taliban in the middle of the street. I was losing it. I wish I was there with a machine gun just taking them all out. You know, but then at the same time, God could give those Taliban leaders a vision of Jesus Christ and boom, things can change, you know. You know, but like it was a good reminder, you know, for me when you read that is, hey, the Lord gives, the Lord takes away.
Yeah.
Blessed be the name of the Lord. And that was a prick in my heart. It's like, okay, I'm going through some stuff too, but am I still going to bless the Lord? You know, am I going to still bless the Lord? Am I still going to worship, you know? And I think you tie in that with Jeremiah, you know, 29:11. You know, we forget sometimes God's thoughts towards us are good.
Yeah.
You know. Yeah.
And we are very short-sighted, you know, which I think is partly why God is constantly having to teach me in particular. I don't know about the listeners. I'm sure it's similar, but God's constantly having to teach me to be patient because I'm not, you know, he's having to teach me to wait because that's the word I hate most in the English language, probably.
Mm-hmm.
I hate waiting. I hate trying to be patient. And so God works that in me because I'm so short-sighted that, hey, I'm going through this thing. I'm going through that thing. And I'm like, okay, I'm ready to be done with this now. And God says, no, I'm not done yet. And, you know, we can look at it as, oh, God's punishing me for something. It's rarely the case. I mean, it's true that, yeah, God disciplines because he loves. So yeah, maybe there is something in us that needs to be worked out. Maybe the hardest thing to think about is maybe we're not even going to know why we're dealing with what we're dealing with because we're not going to see it this side of heaven. And that sucks even more for me because I want to be able to see the good that is the end result of it. And rarely do I get to see that. But, you know, the word says that God works all things for good to those who love him. And yeah, sometimes we go through trials because of our own stupidity. Sometimes we go through trials because of somebody else's stupidity. Sometimes we need to take a little bit of the perspective of Job and understand that God is sovereign, God is good, and he's no less good when we go through a trial. And maybe that trial is simply because it's for our good and his glory. And again, it's that thing where we need to back away from just looking at the tree in front of us and see that there's a forest beyond that. And we don't know what's going on, but we can back up and say, you know what, God, you created all this. You hold all things in the palm of your hand. So, okay.
Your tree example reminds me of my dad. And I think he wasn't even a Christian then. You know, my dad was born in the 30s, you know, military guy.
Does that mean you were born in the 50s?
No, bro. My dad had me later in life. I was technically not supposed to be here. I was supposed to be aborted.
Oh, you're one of those.
Yeah. And that's why I'm a pro-lifer.
Attaboy.
You know? And I whenever Jack Gibbs talks about abortion and how he was supposed to be here, my heart is pricked because I was supposed to be not here. I'm not supposed to be here.
Yeah.
You know, but I remember my dad, I was a little kid. I don't know where we were. But, you know, right now it's daytime for you. It's daytime for me. If we go outside and we look at the sun, it's going to be bright. But I think a lot of us have our thumbs in front of our eyes like this, you know, where we can't see the sun, you know. And if we take our thumb all the way to the sun shines brighter and our thumb disappears. I think the more, you know, we get into Jesus and Jesus only, nothing more, nothing less, nothing else, you know. I've just learned that if I don't read, if I don't pray, if I don't worship, I'm discombobulated. I'm emotional. I'm just out of control. You know, social media, Instagram, Facebook becomes an irritant. It's not something that, you know, but the days that I pray, the days that I'm into the Word of God, the days that I worship, things on social media, it doesn't bug me. I just pray.
Yeah.
You know, and it, you know, it's the Word, right? It's like the, you know, the psalmist says in Psalm 119, thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee, you know. And you know, like I've recently gone into that chosen program, mm-hmm. by Dallas Jenkins, and, you know, it came out what, last year, the year before. I tried to get into it. It's kind of cheesy at times, you know, but it's like all anything. It's like, come on, Three Stooges, Different Strokes, you know, I'm dating myself, but those are all kind of cheesy. I don't know what's out there. Or The Office, you know, some episodes are just like, that was really dumb, you know, but, you know, because it's chosen and they're taking things out of the scriptures, you just kind of like resonate with it. Mm-hmm. You know, Mary Magdalene, you know, Doubting Thomas, and, you know, they have their issues. And I was watching this, you know, yesterday, The Chosen, so I can get my mind off of current events and whatnot. Am I thinking, wait, could you imagine being a Jew back then, studying the Torah, studying the law, right? And all of a sudden, you have Jesus of Nazareth right in front of you. You know, one of the episodes, it was where the guy that was, you know, lame, and he was waiting for the stirring of the water at the pool of Bethesda. And I was like thinking, I wonder how many people are lame in heart. They're invalid, you know, and they're turning to drugs. They're turning to relationships. How many, like I think about like cops and firefighters and military guys, how many divorces these guys have gone through because they're trying to fill a void in their heart. So they've been through multiple marriages, you know, they're just sleeping around and doing all kinds of stuff. And in that episode, Jesus is telling the disciples, I have an appointment in town, you know. And he walks right by the priest and just calls on the invalid man. I think his name was Jesse. So, hey, Jesse, look at me. And he's like, what? And it's just kind of, when you watch it, it's like kind of cheesy, but at the same time, it's kind of cool because I got chills, like chicken skin. I'm like, man, these disciples had Jesus Christ.
Goosebumps, doggone it. Okay, go on. Sorry.
Right? But I mean, like these guys had the Messiah live right in front of them.
Mm-hmm.
You know? I mean, we don't have that now, but we have the whole scripture.
Yeah.
You know? And, you know, for me, it's like, okay, irregardless of what's going to happen in the world, we need to take our thumbs off of ourselves and put it towards the sun, you know, put our life into the sun. Because why? So that the blood can wash us and cleanse us. And, you know, this morning I was watching, you know, Jack Hibbs, and he mentioned a verse in John chapter 8, verse 36 or 39, and to whom the Son sets free, he's free indeed, right?
Mm-hmm.
And he was talking about, he was encouraging, if there's a sin that you're struggling with, let God set you free. You know, because obviously he's in the book of Romans and talking about, you know, judge not lest you be judged. And, you know, he's talking about the same people that, oh, you're doing this sin, but yet they're also doing it in their own mind and in their own lives and things like that. And am I thinking, you know, if we could put it to like working out, right? How many of us, we know friends that are in uniform, man, in the academy, they were spot on. They were fit. They were in shape. Mm-hmm. Then time went on. They got married. They got kids. They climbed up in rank, you know, and next thing you know, they went from a size 32 inch waist to a 42, yeah. You know? And if you think about it, it's like fitness is just stop eating that way. Just stop. You know, and when Jack was reading that verse, you know, whom the Son sets free, he's free indeed. We've been set free. It's just, we're kind of, man, that was so good. Right?
Yeah.
And I think America has that addictive personality as a whole to, you know, like stupid stuff. Like right now, what's the big craze on hashtags? Or the crate challenge? Milk crate.
I talked about that yesterday in Cop Church. Yeah.
You know, and I was like, okay, it's funny. Don't get me wrong. I've seen some cops go on it and I'm like, why would you do that? You
know? Yeah. Yeah.
I guess if you're trying to build rapport with the kids, well, okay, maybe, but.
No, thanks.
Yeah.
I actually talking about it yesterday. I know better than that because when I was a kid, I fell and hit my face on milk crates and actually broke my tooth out. So I'm like, keep me away from milk crates, man.
But, you know, whoever is going to be listening to this, maybe this week, month, a year from now, whatever vice you're struggling with, lay it at the cross. You know, when I watch that Chosen program, the guy they show him trying to crawl whenever the water was stirred and he didn't have strength, you know, and they show him from a young man to probably his 50s. Cause I think it was for 35 plus years. He's like, I have no man to carry me when the water stirred.
Yeah.
You know, and when Jesus walks up to him, he's like, Jesus isn't waiting for the stirring of the water, right? Because why? Jesus is living water. And he's like, believe me. I mean, in faith, he's just told him. He's like, hey, take up your bed and walk. You know? And he's probably like, I've been like this for how many years? You want me to do what? You know?
Yeah.
And it was a cool episode because it reminded me, gosh, really, whether it's a physical ailment or mental or spiritual, you know, hardship, man, if God can set you free, you're free indeed. You know, and you don't have to do drugs. You don't have to do alcohol. You don't have to be into porn. You don't have to be doing all this stupid stuff that's going to take you away from your walk with the Lord. It's just, hey, you know, just like we tell our kids, right? Knock it off. Just stop. Don't do it anymore. Oh, okay. Right? And I think the Lord's like, hey, Michael, Adam, just stop.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, that's it? He goes, yeah, just stop. just stop, you know? And, you know, because I think in the line of work that cops and firefighters are in, and even pastors, we know that these programs that they're trying to put together in jails don't work. You know, but we do know when some former gangbanger goes into a state prison and preaches Jesus Christ and gives them hope, and these guys that are in prison for life or whatever realizes I'm a sinner, gets on their knees, accepts Jesus Christ, and turns. No longer are they needing all these other, vices, so to speak. And remember the old vice grips?
Yeah.
That tick, 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 mm-hmm. right? And you squeeze it. And I remember as a kid, I was fixated on the knob versus the handle. And my dad's like, what are you doing? I was like, I'm trying to loosen it. He's like, I'm trying to tighten it. He's like, son, all you need to do is just flip this up. And the vice is off.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, and that's what Jesus did for us. You know, we don't need to be clamped down to these things that hold us back. It's like Jesus released that. And I think that's just one of the things that's a reminder where we forget that, like in, you know, Jeremiah 33, I think verse 3, where it says, Jesus says, hey, call unto me and I'm going to answer you. Call unto me and I will answer you. You know, because, you know, then he says, I will show you great and mighty things which you don't know of, right? Mm-hmm. Well, we're never going to experience the great and mighty things unless we call upon the Lord, right?
Yeah.
And so, anywho, yeah.
Well, I'll tell you what, in closing here, I'll say this. The human heart is only able to handle so much. Mm. In fact, I think it's in Matthew 24 that Jesus said that in the latter days that men's hearts will fail them because of fear. Mm-hmm. Because the human heart can only handle so much. So when we take on what's going on overseas, when we take on our own personal struggles, we take on the struggles of others in our local area. We take on the struggles of hardships handed down by, you know, principalities and whatever. We really get overloaded. And I'm no different. I get overloaded too. You know, I take on the hardships of my family, of my friends. And like you say, Michael, that's stuff that we need to lay at the foot of the cross, because Jesus said, come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I'll give you rest. A lot of us don't know what rest feels like. And we haven't known that feeling for quite a while. So I think as we close in prayer, that's going to be our prayer for the listener, for us, is that that the Lord would give us the ability to take that burden off our shoulders, off of our chest, really, and lay it at the foot of the cross and allow God to do his work. I think we're ready for that. I think we're done. You?
I'm good.
So I'll get us started, I guess. Loving Heavenly Father, you are so good to us. You never intended us to do this on our own. But we try to. The listener tries to, I know that. And thank you that you have given us a way to shed these burdens. Mm. Lord, I ask that Mike and I, that the listener would be granted the time, and that we would take advantage of the time to come to the cross to kneel down before you and to, in all sincerity and openness, pour out our hearts before you so that whatever is burdening us will be left at the foot of the cross. Come to me, all who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Father, we ask that that would be our life verse right now. Mike?
Father, Lord, I lift up those that are hurting and weary, that, Lord, you would comfort them. And that, Lord, those that are suffering hardship in not only in Afghanistan, but Lord, even in our own country with the floods and the rains and fires, Lord, I pray you would just bring comfort to them. And Lord, all the crazy madness, Lord, with masks and vaccines and whatnot, but I would pray that, Lord, you would be one that's reigning in their hearts, Lord. And then in closing, Lord, I'd like to read, Lord, in Isaiah, you tell us in Isaiah 55, verse 6, seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return to the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him, and to the God, to our God, for he will abundantly pardon, Lord. And I pray that this prayer, this verse, these verses, Lord, would be true. That, Lord, time is short, and I would pray that those that believe in Jesus would be one that stands firm in the word of God, would be a witness in these last days. And that, Lord, people that are questioning their hearts and their relationship with Jesus Christ, Lord, would be one that's going to seek you while you may be found. Lord, when you call for your church, Lord, it's going to be a different time and a different day, Lord. And for those of us that are still here on earth, Lord, help us to be ones that are doing the will of God. Lord, the woman at the well, when she met you, she went back to the city. And Lord said, come see the man who told me all things. Lord, help us to do the same. Help us to be ones like John the Baptist. John the Baptist, Lord, to point the way to you, Jesus. And so, Lord, we just ask that, Lord, you be glorified in our lives. Lord, use Thin Line Believers podcast, Lord, to reach those that are hurting and unchurched. Lord, reach out to Cop Church, Lord, for those that are fearful of going to an actual structural church, Lord. May you bless that. May you bless Adam. Lord, be with our other brothers in arms, Lord Josiah and Steve, Lord. We continue to watch over them and bless them, Lord God. And we just ask that you would just lead them and guide them, Lord, and protect them, Father. So we surrender this week to you. We surrender this day to you, God. And it's in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. All right. Well, you all know the drill. You know, apparently for YouTube, I'm supposed to say like and subscribe, right? I guess that's a thing. Share this if it has been of any benefit to you. I think there's a lot of people burdened right now, and maybe they can relate knowing that they're not the only ones. And until next week, God bless.